Luke chapter number 2. Would you go there with me in the Word of God? I'd like to take the next couple of weeks and center it around the Christmas story. Luke chapter number 2. So many aspects of this story that we could deal with, and none of which I'm sure we've not dealt with before. But for the next couple of weeks, let's center around these shepherds. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, let's read verse 14 together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let the church say amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the difference it makes. I personally want to thank you for the music today, how much it's ministered to my heart. We bless your name. Something happens when we worship you. Something happens. Oh, God. Help us to get back to worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And then the message and song, gentle Savior, lead me, Lord. Oh, God, help us to get in line with Jesus as you lead us gently, lovingly. God, a lot has happened this year, but you've never stopped loving us. Keep leading us on. Oh, God, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Thank you for this time of the year. May we not get caught up in the hype that we miss what heaven's trying to say. Do a great work. If somebody in the building today doesn't know Christ, not just because it's this time of the year, but because now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, let that person get saved today. Please, Lord, thank you that you're still saving sinners. Now do a great work in the service today for your glory. And somehow for our good too. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You've heard me say this before. I love the Christmas season. How about you? It's not all about the lights, but I like them. It's not all about the Christmas trees, but I like them. It's not all about all the decorations, but I enjoy them. Christmas is certainly not about shopping and gifts, but if you're excited, you enjoy shopping and you enjoy giving gifts. It certainly isn't about receiving them, but anybody in the building today who wouldn't admit that you enjoy receiving gifts would probably need to admit that you enjoy telling lies. I mean, who doesn't like to be loved and have that love expressed in giving? All of that happens around Christmas time. I spend a lot of time here lately doing some walking, some slow walking in the mall. So I'm in the mall and I see this big old Christmas tree and I see children that are taking pictures and I see people that are dressed up and I see people going in and out of the stores. And you think about all of the advertisements that come to your phone and all of the sales that the stores have. I don't know about you, it seems like even the most grumpy people try to get somewhat happy around Christmas time. How many of you know somebody that's kind of grumpy, but around Christmas time, they at least smile a little bit, they talk a little bit, they have somewhat of a goodwill nature during Christmas time. This time of the year does that. It's cold outside, but we enjoy the hot chocolate and the marshmallows and sitting around the fire and gathering around family and watching things that we've watched 100 times and laughing like we've never laughed at it before. getting surprised like we didn't know what was happening. That's what Christmas does. You get together with family and you get together with friends in most years. And of course, 2020 has shaken our normalcy on every level. But yet here we are again. It seems like it was just March before any of this really got going. And now we are at the end of the year. We're in December. Christmas is just less than 2 weeks away. And before long, those trees, those lights, those decorations, those sales, that shopping, that gift giving, that exchanging, those festivities will all be over. We'll be ushering in a brand new year and wondering how long it will take for Christmas to come around again. But while it's here, don't you think we ought to go back to the Bible and find out or remind ourselves of why we celebrate Christmas? I know somebody in the building or somebody tuning in may be thinking, I don't celebrate it because Jesus wasn't born in December and we can't say he was born in December and Christmas is pagan and I don't get all, listen to me, I'm not saying that we espouse to all of the pagan tendencies or that we agree with everything that the world says, but we do agree on the fact that Christ is the reason for the season. We do agree on the fact that it's not about all those things. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 2, at the beginning of this passage of Scripture, it is showing us the process of Joseph and Mary leaving where they were because of the census and heading back to Bethlehem where they would report. We see all that God was doing to fulfill the Old Testament. We see that he was there to be taxed. We see that while they were there, it was time for her to give birth. We see that verse number 7, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. We could travel over to Matthew chapter 2 and watch the angel come to Joseph and say to him, don't put away your wife that you're engaged to. She's pregnant, but that pregnancy did not come from man. She's been conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. Let us not overlook the significance of the virgin birth. Somebody say amen. It's important that Jesus was born of a virgin. Why? Because every man that is born as the result of a human father receives a sin nature. But aren't you glad that Jesus came to earth, but God protected the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ by not allowing him to be the result of two people? By the way, he could not have been born of Mary and Joseph. The only kind of person that's born of a man and a woman is a person whose existence begins at birth. But when Jesus entered the womb of Mary, he didn't begin existing then. He just got a body then. John tells us he's been in the beginning. He always has and he always will. Thank God that we serve an eternal Savior. Amen. And so Jesus was born. We could look in Matthew chapter 1. We could look in Matthew chapter 2 and look at the wise men that saw that star. We believe they were three kings following that star all the way to Bethlehem. And they said, we have seen the star and are come to worship him. And by the way, nearly 2,000 years later, could I say to you, you ought to still be following the star. Somebody say amen. That star that saved you, that star that redeemed you, that star that lit up that sky that night and showed those wise men where Jesus was, you still ought to follow the star. By the way, when you get around Jesus, you get around the light. 1 John chapter 1, we walk in the light as he is in the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's why that light lit up, because that light represented the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill shines. Let your light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father that is in heaven. We are living in a dark world, and it seems like it's getting darker every day, but aren't you glad that the darker the night, the brighter the light? Let your light so shine. But this morning, I want to talk about these shepherds. I want to talk about these shepherds that were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. They were doing what they do. They were met by a messenger of God, an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And watch this now. Instinctively, they were afraid. Sometimes we read the Bible and we look at people and go, what are you afraid of? You'd be out in the middle of the night and let an angel with a bunch of light shine around you. You'd be afraid too. This was not something they had seen often. This was not something they were accustomed to. And yet that day, and by the way, it wasn't normal because something that had just happened in Bethlehem, that wasn't normal either. And so God sent the angel. But I want to focus in this week, and then we'll finish next week, on what the angel said, centered around the first Christmas, reminding them and reminding us of what this occasion is all about. Fear not, verse number 10. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings is another word for good news. You know, it's hard to find good news anymore. Somebody help me preach. I mean, it's hard to find. People say, you know, Geico has good news. Well, do you have Geico? It ain't always good news. You know, people are looking for good news. You know, when people used to read the newspaper, they would look. And I don't know about you, sometimes we gravitate towards bad news. You know, isn't it amazing how fast negativity spreads and how slow positivity spreads? You know why? The flesh lurks and leeches on to negativity. I'm telling you what, I'm looking for some good news. And I don't know about you, in 2020, it seems like over and over we've got one piece of bad news and one piece of bad news. And I cringe when my phone vibrates and I get a call about what happened or what would take place. Everybody's looking for good news. But here's the thing about good news, even in our world today. Good news comes sometime, but when it does come, it typically is only good for some people. When politically good news comes out, it depends on where you stand politically. When medically good news comes out, it depends on if you're the patient. When legally good news comes out, it depends on whether or not you were the plaintiff or the defendant. When financial good news comes out, it depends on whether or not you are the one getting the money. When relational good news comes out, it depends on whether or not it was what you wanted the relationship to be. So the husband may say it's good news. The wife may say it's bad news. The plaintiff may say it's good news. The defendant may say it's bad news. The Democrats may say it's good news, but the Republicans may say it's bad news. The patient may say it's good news, but the other patient may receive bad news. The person getting a raise may say it's good news, but the person getting fired may say it's bad news. But I'll tell you what I like about Luke chapter 2. When that angel met those shepherds in that field, that angel said, I'm here to show up to tell you that I've got good news. But it didn't stop there. This good news is for all people. That's the Christmas message. Somebody help me preach this morning. That's the Christmas message. That's why 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating it. That's why we're buying trees, and that's why we're setting up lights, and that's why we're doing this, and that's why we're taking an offering. Not because we're hung up on tradition or we're caught up in some worldly celebration or we don't understand what it's all about. Not because we're hung up on Santa Claus or we just want to overspend and try to pay for it next year. No, because we understand that what happened in that manger, that what happened in that little town, that what happened those 2,000 years ago is good for Democrats, good for Republicans, good for blacks and good for whites, good for rich folk and good for poor folk, good for smart folk and good for uneducated folk, good for those that are free and good for those that are in jail, good for those that speak English, good for those that speak Spanish, good for those that speak French, good for those that speak Swahili, good for those that speak Ebonics or Pig Latin. It doesn't matter who you are. It is good news for all people. And that's what the world needs to hear. I hope that while we get in this Christmas season, that we don't get caught up in talking about everything and telling everybody about one thing and buying this thing, that we forget it's centered around good tidings for all people. Now, this morning, I want to give you the first part of that good news, and the first part of that good news that is for all people. Now, I heard somebody say, well, if you invite me to your church, I'm a Muslim. Yeah, you can come. We got good news for Muslims. We got good news for Jehovah's Witness. We got good news for Catholics. We got good news for non-religious people. We got good news for atheists. We got good news for agnostics. Come on, we got good news for Hindus. We got good news for people who don't know what they are. Let me tell you something. This thing right here that we call Christmas is good tidings for all people. Here's the first aspect of those good tidings: the arrival of Christ. Come on now, when Jesus shows up, it's always good news. I say when Jesus shows up, it's always good news. That's why he said when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's why we love church. We don't love church because we're here. We love church because he's here. Listen to me. For unto you, watch this now. He says, I bring you good tidings which shall be to all people. For unto you. Here's the arrival of Christ. Notice the stated purpose. Why did he come? He came unto you. Let me tell you something. Aren't you glad that he came? But aren't you glad that he came for us? Come on now, he didn't come to look at the world. He didn't come to visit what he made. He didn't come to see how things were going. He came for us. All the sins we commit, all the mistakes we made, all the things the blunders we commit every single day, he still came for us. One of the aspects of God's character is his omniscience, and that he knows everything, not just what's happening now, but what happened yesterday and what will happen in the future. Can you imagine that God looked forward to 2020, watched every sin we would commit, watched every mistake we would make, watched every bad thought we would have, watched every grudge we would hold, watched every unkind word we would say, and yet he came anyway? Can you imagine why he did it for us? Somebody ought to pause right now and thank God that Christmas is about a Savior who left the glories of heaven. Read John 17. He came there. He gave it all up. Read Philippians chapter 2. Who for the joy that was set before him thought it not robbery to be equal with God, surrounded by angels, in heaven where he belonged, with his Father, united in the Trinity. He left all of that to walk on the muck and mire of sin, to come to his own and his own receive him not, to be laughed, to be beaten, brutalized, and belittled, to be placed on a cross having done no wrong, to be treated worse than a murderer and a liar was treated, to be told he was in cahoots with Beelzebub, to be stoned, to be laughed at, to have his beard ripped out, to be whipped with a cat of nine tails. He said he did it for us. Wow. Stated purpose, the specified place. For unto you is born in the city of David. A special place, the city of David. Bethlehem, house of bread. The city of David. David sat on that throne. And God said, I'm going to have somebody sitting on that throne all the way until Jesus came. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, coming from the root of Jesse, the son of David. Let me tell you something. He didn't just come with a stated purpose, but he came to a specified place. Micah said, O Bethlehem, among the least of the princes, but out of thee shall come a Savior which shall rule my people. Hey, aren't you glad that he came to Bethlehem? You say, what's the big deal about Jesus coming to Bethlehem? I think Jesus sets a signal to let us know that you don't have to come from a big town to do big things. Amen. Aren't you glad that he was born in a meager place like Bethlehem? Somebody's sitting here this morning and saying, I don't have the pedigree to do great things for God. I don't have the background. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I come from the wrong family. I can't be like other people can be. Let me tell you something. The greatest man that ever walked planet Earth, the greatest man that ever lived, the man that's done the greatest thing that mankind could ever need, his name is Jesus. He wasn't born in a big town. He wasn't born where the bright lights were. He wasn't born with all the pomp and circumstance. He was born in a little town called Bethlehem, where God said he would be born, where 700 years before he was born, they said he would be born, where he would be prophesied to be born, in the exact place where he would be born. And how could God think it out, to work it out, that Mary would get pregnant just at the right time, that the census would be called just at the right time, that Joseph and Mary would have to leave Judah and Galilee and go to Bethlehem at just the right time, that her water would break at just the right time, at just the right spot, that he would be born, that his first cry would happen in Bethlehem, where, oh, by the way, Micah, 700 years before he was born, said he would be born. Don't you knock the Bible. It's too right on too many fronts to be made up by man. I don't read the Bible. Man wrote it. You can't get man to agree with himself. How can you get Micah and Luke to agree unless Micah and Luke both got their information from the Holy Ghost? The stated purpose, the specified place. All right, I'm going to slow down a little bit. And then salvation's plan. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Say it with me. A Savior. A Savior. Hey, listen to me. The world already had shepherds and already had sovereign rulers. What they needed was a Savior. They needed a Savior, salvation's plan, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ? It's the anointed one, the promised Messiah. Who is the Lord? He's the precious Master. Watch this now. Unto you is born this day. Unto you is born. He came for you. He came for you in a certain place. But he not only came for you in a certain place, but he came to be a somebody. Aren't you glad that the one who came wasn't just another politician speaking some fancy phrase? Wasn't wasn't just another king who would be voted out or who would die. It wasn't just some millionaire that would come offering promises to those who were poor and impoverished. But aren't you glad that the one that was born in that manger, the one that the angels were talking about, was none other than Christ the Lord, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the one they had looked for, the one they had longed for, the one that their soul desired, the one that will fulfill their need. In these last days, our world is looking for something, and they're looking for what they need in all the wrong places. They think they'll find it in drugs and alcohol and sex and immorality and government and money and fame and fortune. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But I'm glad that that one that came would be that one that years later would walk up and John would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." That one would walk up to a blind man and give him sight. That one would walk up to a deaf man and give him hearing. To a lame man and send him walking. To a mute man and send him talking. He'd take a withered hand and restore it again. They'd run out of wine and he'd turn water into wine. To an impotent man, he'd give him the ability to be healed. To a woman with an issue of blood, she felt no more that stuff in her body. To those that were sick, he would raise them up. My friend, there was something special about that man. He said to that woman in John chapter 4, "You're looking for living water. If you knew who you were talking to, you'd understand you're looking at living water." She didn't just drink and never thirst again. You and I have drunk and we've never thirsted again. Why? Because in that manger wasn't just any little baby, wasn't just any little child, but that child was the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. No wonder the angel said, "I bring you good tidings for all people." Maybe you're sitting in the building, maybe you're tuning in this morning, and all you've heard lately is bad news. You know, the news is pretty depressing. And sometimes we just turn and we think, what bad will happen next? Well, folks, it's Christmas time. Get a smile on your face. Because this news that was told in Luke chapter 2 is the news that keeps on telling. And it's good news. And it's not just for me, not just for you, not just for some, not just for most. It's for all people. If it's good news and it's for all people, that means it's for you. So let's act like Christmas is good news. But let's not just act like it's good news. Let's share it with other people. Because this good tidings is for all people. And by the way, it brings great joy. Father, thank you for your word. Use it to help us and strengthen us. And motivate us. And help us not to lose track of what you're doing and what you're saying. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, "Pastor, I'm glad that I'm saved"? If you know that, would you raise your hand? "I know that I'm saved and glad about it. I know what this new good news is all about." God bless you. Put your hands down. If you just raise your hand, "Pastor, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but sometimes I forget that the good news I'm looking for is right here in the story of Christmas. Sometimes I'm looking for everything in the wrong places. But you've reminded me this morning about that good news. And this Christmas, and not just Christmas, but all year long, I want to focus on this good news. It's for everybody. That you would raise your hand. God has encouraged my heart this morning. God bless you. Put your hand out. I wonder how many said, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell." Please pray for me. Anybody like that? "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell." If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Well, why don't you pray just right where you are? And ask God to help you focus on the good news. And your co-workers, your family members, your friends, your social media folks need to know. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news you gave us. in your word and that it's still good news. Help us to keep sharing it and help us to keep focusing on it. Please, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for us. Amen.